Okay, we're going to begin here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Bet. We're just going to review it quickly because the entire Taf today is premised on that Mishnah, and knowing it well and the flow of the Gemara afterwards will help us to understand the remainder of the daf. The Mishnah says, Chamisha dvarim ba'im betumah. There are five korbanot in the tzibur that are brought, even if they are tameh. Ve'enan ne'achalim betumah. But they are not permitted to be eaten betumah. And now the Mishnah brings examples. Ha'omer, that is brought on Pesach to be matir chodosh in the gvulim, which allows people then to eat the new grains. Shtei alechem, which is brought on Shavuot, together with the kivsei atzeret, in order to be matir chodosh in the Mikdash. Lechem apanim, which is eaten by the Kohanim every week on Shabbat and is put on the Shulchan from that Shabbat to the following Shabbat. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor are the korbanot of the Shlamim, the only Shalmei Tzibor that are brought in the Mikdash, and they are brought on Shavuot together with the Shtei Lechem. The Yushalmi itself asks, why does the Mishnah mention both Shalmei Tzibor and Shtei Lechem? Because they are two ends of the same korban. They are brought together on Shavuot. So there, the Gemara discusses whether the Shalmei Tzibor or the Shtei Lechem are the Ikar. In order to balance the different opinions, the Mishnah brought both in order not to be a problem. We'll see in our Gemara that the Gemara has a different answer to that question. Usirei Roshei Chodoshim. And the Chataot that are brought on Rosh Chodesh as part of the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh. What is unique about all these korbanot, these are korbanot at Tzibur that are nechalim, that are eaten. They have residual parts to them which are eaten by the Kohanim, and therefore this is important in the Mishnah in order to contrast it with the Pesach. Because a Pesach Shebab B'tumah, Pesach that's brought when the people are Tamei, nechal B'tumah, is eaten in that state of Tumah. Shelo ba mitchila ela la'achila. Because the whole purpose of the Korban HaPesach is to eat it. This is a unique aspect of the Korban HaPesach that is not true by other Korbanot, whereby other Korbanot, the eating of the Korban itself, is not essential or integral to the Korban. And therefore, when it comes to other Korbanot, even if the Balim, the owners, are Tamei, they can send the Korbanot on their behalf and have them be brought in the Mikdash, even though they are Tameim. That is not true by the Korban HaPesach. If the Balim are Tameim, they can't have the Korban brought on their behalf because they can't participate, they can't eat in the Korban. We've already earlier in the Masechta discussed with regards to people who are going to be Tamei and become Tohor at the end of the day, what relevance that has by the Korban HaPesach as to whether they can or cannot join a Korban Pesach in that instance. That is because the Pasuk says, V'imimata bayit miot misela kachu shcheinu akarov el beito meyaksat nefashot ish v'fi ochlo tachosu al aseh. So you see that achila is an integral part of the tachosu al aseh, the shchitat aseh, the bringing of the Korban. Rashi says the reason it's doche tumah is because the pasuk says the Be'al b'nei Yisrael emor ish ish ki yetamei lenefesh o b'derech harachokah lachem aludor techem asav pesach la'ashem. So from there we learn ish ish nidche the pesach sheni ve'in tzibur nidachin the pesach sheni. Only an individual is pushed off the pesach sheni, but the tzibur is not pushed off the pesach sheni. Although they bring their korban b'tumah if it is tumah tameh. And from that you learn that the tzibur does the korban pesach b'tumah. That's Rashi's source over here. The Gemara later on will bring a different source from the word mo'ado. Tosafot back on Daf Samech Vav actually discusses whether you could learn that information from the word mo'ado, or do you need a gzer shova from mo'ado from Pesach to Tamid? And therefore, there are different Tanaim that believe different things with regards to what is the actual source for the fact that Korban HaPesach is not nitcheit bitumah, and that if Rova Tzibor Tameim, that it's done bitumah. And that is manifest here. Rashi brings one explanation, and the Gemara is going to bring alternate explanations, and the Tosafot on Samech Vav discuss the fact that you have these multiple different limudim, and that the Tanaim actually argue as to what really is the source for the fact that Pesach overrides Tumah. But this is a major contrast with the Mishnah is trying to lay out here between the Korban of Pesach and the other Korbanot, which is the other korbanot are not eaten bitumah, whereas the korban Pesach is eaten bitumah. And that is despite the fact that all of these korbanot are doche tumah. They override tumah. Now, to understand this better, we have a principle, which we're going to discuss in more detail in today's daf, which is that tumah either duchuya b'tzibor or tumah hutra b'tzibor. The terms mean either tumah is suspended, duchuya, in the tzibor, and that suspension allows you to do certain things that you would not otherwise be permitted to do, bitumah. Whereas there's tumah hutra bitzibor means that tumah is not relevant, bitzibor. And therefore you can do as you please if tumah becomes an issue. Now with regards to tumah, tumah is in an instance or in a situation in which either the rova tzibor are tmeim, or a case where the kohanim, who are working in the mikdash, rubam, the majority of them are tmeim. And we're going to see other applications of that throughout the Gemara, with regards to certain korbanot that become tameh, whether it's the dam, the basar, or the emurim, what is the relevance of tuma duchuya b'tzibor or tuma hutra b'tzibor? Now, it is somewhat misleading, this concept of tuma hutra b'tzibor and tuma duchuya b'tzibor, because it seems to imply that this is only true with regards to korbanot that are klal Yisrael korbanot, national korbanot, not individual korbanot. The Gemara, in other places, discusses what overrides tuma and overrides Shabbat. In the Gemara's conclusion, there is a dayah that it has the difference between Sibur, that which is done publicly or that belongs to Klal Yisrael as a national level, versus private korbanot. But the distinction that holds the halacha is the fact that a korban that has a fixed time in which it is brought, that is doche Shabbat, doche tuma, whereas a korban that does not have a fixed time when it is brought, that korban can be pushed off, and therefore, since it can be pushed off, it won't override tuma, won't override Shabbat. And that's true with Sibur. If you have a korban at Sibur, like a par, helem dover shel Sibur, or the parim and nisrafim, serim and nisrafim, korbanot at Sibur that don't have a fixed time, they're brought for kaparav at Sibur, and they're not brought on any particular date, they will not override tuma, and they will not override Shabbat. On the other hand, korbanot yachid that do have a fixed time, like the korban pesach and possibly the chagigah, will override tuma and will override Shabbat. The Gemara in a number of places notes that even those korbanot yachid, like pesach and like the chagigah, they call them korbanot tzibur because they're brought b'knufaya. Generally, when you have a fixed time in which you have to bring a particular korban as a yachid, everybody in Klal Yisrael has that same mandate, and therefore you bring it together simultaneously, and that generates a sensation or a halachic status of it being classified as a korban hatzibur because of this what's called knufaya, which Maharshi will mention in the upcoming Gemara in a second, and therefore korbanot yachid many times have somewhat of a status of korban tzibur when they are able to override tuma and override Shabbat. An additional item here, the Mishnah makes a statement that these korbanot that are brought bituma, enam ne'achalim bituma, they cannot be eaten bituma. It's unclear from the Mishnah what that means. That could mean either that they're not eaten, period, that when a korban is brought bituma, irrespective of the status of the korban and the kohanim, the korban will not be eaten because the korban is brought bituma is not eaten bituma. That could be one way to view it. The other way to view it is that the korban, when it's brought bituma, if somehow the korban itself can be preserved bitara, and there are some kohanim that are tehorim, maybe they could eat it. It's not nechal bituma. If it has tumat basar, meaning the korban became tamei, it cannot be eaten. Or if the kohanim are tameim with tumat aguf, they may not eat it. But if you can somehow salvage the korban, even though it's being brought bituma, in a way that there are some kohanim that are tohorim, and the basar of the korban remains tahor, maybe you could eat it. So that turns out to be a machloket rishonim. Rashi in Gemara Zvachim, Tzadi Ted Amud Bet, he proves from our Mishnah that even a korban that is brought bituma may not be eaten, even by those individuals that are tehorim, and if the korban remains tehor. Rashi is unequivocal about that. The Tosfot read over here in our Gemara seems to indicate something similar on the Mishnah. And the Mefarshei Rambam argue about what the Rambam's position is with regard to this. And the Tosafot in Yoma Dav Zayin Amud Aleph over there, which is a fundamental Tosafot with regards to Tuma Duchuya B'tzibor and Tuma Hutra B'tzibor, says that that distinction actually will have impact on this question. And that is, if Tuma is Hutra B'tzibor, Tuma is vacated, we don't pay any regard to it when it comes to the Tzibor. In that case, if there are Tohorim and the Basar is Tohor, the Korban would be eaten. According to those that believe that Tuma is only Duchuya B'tzibor, even if you're able to salvage the Korban B'tara and have Kohanim and Tohorim, you would not eat it because it's Tuma Duchuya B'tzibor, and the fact that we brought it is all B'diavad, and therefore the Basar will not be eaten, even if the Basar is not Tameh. So he balances between those two positions and suggests that it's connected to whether Tuma Hutra B'tzibor or Tuma Duchuya B'tzibor. Now Rashi seems to imply, and it's very clear in the Meiri over here on the Mishnah, that the Mishnah picked these five Korbanot HaTzibor not to teach us that Korbanot HaTzibor are Doche Tuma, because that's a principle that we discuss in other places, and there are plenty more Korbanot that are Doche Tuma. And so that is not the issue that is being discussed in this Mishnah. Rather, these five items are picked because these are five Korbanot HaTzibor that are Nechalim. These are all the Korbanot HaTzibor that are Nechalim, and that will precipitate the question in the Gemara as to, aren't there other Korbanot HaTzibor that are eaten? Not there are other Korbanot HaTzibor. We know there are other Korbanot HaTzibor, and we know that they're Doche Tuma. The question here is that the Mishnah seems to be an exhaustive list of all Korbanot HaTzibor that are eaten, and therefore the Gemara will question as to why it is that these five were picked, and maybe others were left out of the list. The last thing to note over here is that the items that are listed in the Mishnah actually have different dinim with regards to them. When it comes to Omer and Shteat Lechem, they are both matirim. These are not korbanot that are brought for kapara. These are korbanot that are brought in order to allow something, to permit something. The Omer is to allow Chadash in the Gvulim. Shteat Lechem is to permit Chadash in the Beit HaMikdash. The Lechem HaPanim is interesting because the Lechem HaPanim is only for the Kohanim to eat. The Bazichim that hold the Livonah that sit on the Shulchan are put on the Mizbeach. And that is Matir, the Lechem HaPanim, to be eaten by the Kohanim. But otherwise, there's no Heter that is created, permission or trigger that the Lechem HaPanim have by being eaten by the Kohanim. And number two is there's no kapara that is generated by the Echilat HaKohanim. So the Tosafot later on will ask my nafkamina whether the Lechem Panim are Torim and Eden and Tmeim and not Eden, and we'll discuss that later on. The Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor or Shlamim that are brought by the Tzibor, which are Kodshei Kodoshim, over there the Kohanim eat the Shalmei HaTzibur, and the Seirei Rosh Chodesh HaRishim are speaking about the Chatat that is brought as part of the Musafim. And Rosh Chodesh, both of those, the blood and the Imurim, go on the Mizbeach, and the Basar is eaten by the Kohanim. So the other thing to note about these items is that all of them have what's called a matir, something that's matir them, and then they're eaten, or parts of them are put on the Mizbeach, and the remainder are eaten. That's true of the Omer, which has a kometz taken off the Minchat Omer and put on the Mizbeach. That's true of the Lechem HaPanim, where the Bazichim go on the Mizbeach. And the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor and the Sirei Rashei Chodashim, both Dam and Emurim, go on the Mizbeach, and the residual Basar is eaten by the Kohanim. The only exception to that rule is the Shteat Lechem, where the Shteat Lechem have nothing from them that goes on the Mizbeach. They're connected to the Kivsei Atzeret, which are the Shalmei Tzibor that are mentioned in the Mishnah, and the Shalmei Tzibor are Matir, the Lechem, for the Kohanim. But from the Lechem itself, there's no part of the Lechem that's put on the Mizbeach, and there's nothing that is Matir them to go on the Mizbeach. And therefore, later on in the Gemara, the Shteat Lechem, the Lechem HaPanim, will present an additional challenge, because the Lechem HaPanim, again, as we noted, has nothing that it's Matir, and brings kapara for, and it's only eaten. And therefore, what are you being matir bituma in order to, quote unquote, allow it to be eaten bituma or not eaten bituma? And Shteat Lechem, the same question comes up. There's nothing from the Shteat Lechem that goes on the Mizbeach. They just need to exist in order for them to be matirim. And therefore, what is tuma's impact on the Shteat Lechem? So now the Gemara asks the question that we noted, which is Chamisha Limutei Mai. Why is there an enumeration of five items, Korbanei HaTzibur, that are Nechalim in the Mishnah? What does that come to exclude? Limutei Chagigat Chamisha Asar. That comes to exclude the Chagigat that's brought on the 15th, meaning it's not unique to Pesach. It's the Chagigat that's brought on Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuot. That Chagigat that is brought, even though it has a fixed time, which is that you bring it on the first day of Yom Tov, so you would have thought, since it is brought at a fixed time, and it's a Korban Tzibur, as we're going to say in a moment, that that should be Doche Tuma, and that should be Doche Shabbat. And so why is it excluded from our Mishnah? The Salkadat Chamin, I would have thought, came into Korban Tzibur, since it is a Korban Tzibur, as Rashi says, and we noted in the Mishnah already, because it's brought B'Knufaya, all the individuals together are obligated to do the same thing at the same time, so since it's brought in a great multitude, it takes on the sensation or the status of being a Korban HaTzibur, and Gvi Ala Moed. And in addition to that, it has a fixed time where it's brought. So therefore, Tidchei Tuma. So therefore, it should be included in the list in the Mishnah. Kamash Malan. Kevin de Itlei Tashlumim Koshiva. Since we know that the Korban has ability to have makeup if you missed it on the first day for the additional 7 days, that means by Sukkot, 7 days to make it up. By Pesach, 6 days. And by Shavuot, you have the 6 days after Shavuot also to make up the Chagigah that you did not bring on Shavuot. Therefore, it's Lo Dachya Shabbat. Therefore, it's not Doche Shabbat. Umid Shabbat Lo Dachya, Lo Dachya Tuma. And since it's not Doche Shabbat, it's also not Doche Tuma. Now, the truth is, the reason that it's not Doche Shabbat is because we already saw in the Gemara that it says, V'chagotem oto Chag LaShem Shivat Yamim. It says that you can only bring the Korban Chagigah for 7 days. Even though Sukkot lasts for 8 days, including Shmini Atzeret. And from there we learned that whatever day Shabbat falls out on is suspended for the ability to bring the Korban Chagigah. So Tosfot therefore claims that the Girsa and the Gemara over here should not include the Itlei Tashlumim Kol Shiva, that you have makeup days for it. Rather, it's not Toche Shabbat, because we already learned, B'chagotem oto Chag LaShem Shivat Yamim. And so there's Gzeret HaKatub, it's not Toche Shabbat. And therefore, Mid Shabbat Lo Dachya, since it's not Toche Shabbat, Lo Dachya Tuma. It also is not Doche Tuma. So that's the reasoning according to the Balei HaTosafot. And he brings a number of reasons for that to be true. First of all, we already saw the limud back on Daf Ayin as to why it is that it's not Doche Shabbat. Number two is Tashlumim, the ability to have makeup days, is not necessarily a indication that you can't be Doche Tuma and Doche Shabbat, because we see by Pesach itself. Pesach, which has a makeup date on Pesach Sheni, still has the ability when it's Pesach Rishon, the Rov Tzibor is Tmeim, they bring it Bituma, and it is Doche Tuma, and it is Doche Shabbat. So despite the fact that there's a makeup date for Pesach Rishon, that still doesn't change its status, and that should not be impactful here by the Chagigah. The last thing the Baal Tosafot point out is that with regards to Tashlumim, there's a machloket in the Gemara and Chagigah as to whether you have to be ra'oi on the first day in order to engage in the Tashlumim. Meaning that if you are not ra'oi on the first day, you were tamei on the first day, and therefore you couldn't bring a Chagigah. According to one opinion there, you don't get to make up on the other 6 days. It's only someone who could have brought on the first day, then has the makeup days that are in succession afterwards. But according to the other opinion, if you're not ra'oi on the first day, you're not ra'oi the remainder of time. According to that opinion, tashlumim make no difference, because if you were not ra'oi on the first day, then you're not going to be able to bring it the remainder of the days. And therefore, Tosafot believes that the itlei tashlumim is not a factor with regards to why the Chagigah is not Doche Shabbat. And Rashi seems to indicate something similar here, where he says, Tashlumim kol shiva, k'dinafalan b'per kama d'masechet chagigah, mechagoto moto chag l'Hashem shivat yamim. He quotes a different source. He says, oh, the reason that Tashlumim matter is because of the limud from the pasuk. But why do you need the limud from the pasuk? It sounds like Baal HaTosafot, that Rashi is saying that Tashlumim in of itself would not be sufficient grounds to say that it's not Doche Shabbat, but you need a pasuk to tell you that. And that's just an indication of the fact that you can make it up in the other days, and it only allows you 7 and not 8 days. That shows you that you're not permitted to violate Shabbat for the Korban Chagigah. In support of the gear so that we have in the Gemara, the Minchat Chinuch in Mitzvah Pei Chet notes that the fact that the Korban Chagigah has Tashlumim, even though in every instance it doesn't have Tashlumim, already makes it a Korban that's not Kavul Ozman. So even though you have certain instances like the Baal HaTosafot pointing out where you're not going to have Tashlumim, nevertheless, it's a korban whose character or nature is something that is not fixed in time because it has tashlumim. Therefore, in general, it will not be considered a korban that has kavua lozman. And therefore, not having tashlumim is a disqualifying character to make it be doche tuma. So then the Gemara asks, v'nitnei nami si'irei regalim. Why don't you also add in the si'irim of the regalim? Meaning all the korbanei musaf, with the exception of Shabbat, have korbanei olah, and then they have a korban chatat that comes with them. So you mentioned about Rosh Chodesh that has a Korban Chatat. Why not mention all the Regalim that also have a Korban Chatat along with them? Where it says, Hatanalei Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. That's already captured in the Shalmei Tzibur. So this goes back to what the Mishnah was discussing. Why did it mention Shalmei Tzibur separately from Shtei Alechem? It's because the Shalmei Tzibur, according to the Bavli, not only include the Shalmei Tzibur that are brought on Shavuot, they include all the Korbanei Chatat that are brought on all the holidays that are eaten by the Kohanim. So they're subsumed under that category. So Gemara says, Oyohi, Sirei Rosh Chodeshim Nami Lo Nidei. Why did you include the Sirei Rosh Chodesh? They're also Sirei Chatat that are brought as Korbanei Musaf. Why can't they be subsumed under Shalmei Tzibur? Ta'atana Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Amri, they should be subsumed under the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Gemara says, Sirei Rosh Chodeshim Itztrichle, the Sirim or the Sirei Chatat Rosh Chodesh has a unique status. Sagadat Chamina Alokti Behu Mo'ed. They don't have the word Mo'ed that is associated with them, which seems to be the factor that gives you the ability to override Tuma, and Shabbat is Mo'ed. And that again is, goes back to what we discussed with Rashi in the Mishnah as to what is overriding the Tuma over here. And the Sirim of Rosh Chodesh don't have the word Mo'ed written by them to override. Kamash Valan comes to teach you in our Mishnah the Rosh Chodesh Ikrei Mo'ed. The Rosh Chodesh also has a status of Mo'ed. This is used by the Gemara in Arachin with the discussions as to whether Rosh Chodesh should have a Hallel that is associated with it or not. And it makes a similar claim over there that maybe Rosh Chodesh should have Hallel because it's called a Mo'ed. And it's based on Kida Abaye. Tamar Abaye Tamuz Dehaishata Maloye Malyuha, that they made it a leap month, meaning that Tamuz in our calendar is always a Chaser. Rosh Chodesh Av is always one day of Rosh Chodesh. And that year when they sent the Meraglim in the Midbar, they made Tammuz a 30-day month, meaning that there were 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. There was the 30th day, plus the first of Av, so it was a month that was Malay. Because, Dichtiv Kara Alay Moed Lishbor Bachurai. Because that Moed was impactful to destroy my people. In Megillat Eicha, where this is quoted, it's used as a euphemistic term, which is that it was as if it was a holiday to destroy my people in the Churban HaBayit. and it was as if they declared a holiday of killing of the Jews. But over here, the Gemara darshins the word Moed with regards to the Miraglim in the Midbar, because the Mishnah in Tanit says that there are five things that Ira B'Tisha B'Av. One of those five things is the fact that the Miraglim came back with their bad report about Eretz Yisrael, and there was an exar, the 40 years that they would remain in the Midbar, and that all the people would die out. The Gemara does the calculation based on them leaving on Chavtet Sivan and says it doesn't work out. They don't come back on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara answers, and Abaye's answer is that year, Tammuz was a leap month, it was a 30-day month, and since it was a 30-day month, then it extended the 40 days, Machloket Rashi and Tosafot, as to then when they came back. Did they come back on the night of the 9th of Av, or did they come at the tail end of the 9th of Av, right before the 10th of Av, Machloket, but either way, now the Meglim are returning on the 40th day, which is Tisha B'Av. That's based on the fact that Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed. So you would have thought that Rosh Chodesh should not be subsumed under those korbanot that are Doche Tum'ah, because it's not called a Moed, as well as the fact that Rosh Chodesh is never a fixed day. It can be moved around. It could be the 30th day, or it could be the 31st day, depending on whether it's a Chaser or Male. So that's not maybe not considered to be Kavul Azman. The answer is, no, it is called a Moed. And since it's called a Moed, it's subsumed under this din that Korbanei Tzibur are Doche Tum'ah. And that's why the Mishnah mentioned it, in order to teach you that fact that Rosh Chodesh still has that status of Moed. L'memra, the kulo mimoed atu. Gemara says, okay, that sounds like from this that the reason that things are doche tumah is because we learned that out of the word moed. Benahane mili. Where do you know that from? The Tarot Banan, because it says in Parshat Emor, at the tail end of all the list of the Moadim, it says, Vaydeber Moshe et Moedei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael. Ma Talmud Omar. Why is the word Moed mentioned over there? B'fish alo lamanu elo letamid ule Pesach shener behu Moado. By the Korban HaPesach and by the Korban HaTamid, the word Moed or Moado was mentioned explicitly with regards to those Korbanot. And we learn from that, B'Moado v'afilu b'Shabbat, B'Moado v'afilu b'Tumah. Now, how that works, again, goes back to the Tosafot on the top of Samach Vovom and Aleph, as to whether the Moado itself in each one of them teaches you that Moed, and it's a fixed time, and it's Doche Shabbat, Doche Tumah, and therefore you have that Limud by Pesach, and that Limud separately by Tamid, or is it that the Moado mentioned by the Korban Tamid, which we learn from the Musafim of Shabbat, which says Alolata Tamid, and it tells you that the Alolata Tamid is also included on Shabbat, even when you bring the Korban Musaf of Shabbat, so that means that we know that it's Doche Shabbat. And so from that Moado you learn Shabbat. And from Pesach, like Rashi mentioned in the Mishnah, we know because Ish Nidche, the Pesach Sheni, and the Tzibur is not, so we also know from Pesach that it's Doche Tumah. And then you have a Gzer Shava of Moado Moado that tells you what's true by Pesach is true by the Tamid, and what's true by the Tamid is true by Pesach. So that's one way to learn it. Or, as we mentioned before, the other possibility is that the word Moado subsumes within it the right to override Shabbat and Tumah. And that's exactly what the Tosafot and Samach Vav Amar Alev discusses, that it's a machloket Tanaim, exactly how that works. Now, Shar Korbanot Tzibur Minayin. Now that we know that that's true by Pesach, and we know that's true by the Korbanot Tamid, how do we know that the other Korbanot Tzibur are also subject to that same din? Shenemar, because it says in Parshat Pinchas, at the conclusion of all the Korbanei Musaf, Elu tasu l'Hashem b'moadechem, v'ad min nidrechem, nidvotechem, loktechem, uminchotechem, niskechem, ulishalmechem. So that word, moadechem, in the end, comes to tell you that there's a moed that's assigned to all the korbanot that preceded it in the list. Even though in this list we have the korban ha-tamidim, the musafim ha-shabbat, the musaf of Rosh Chodesh, and this summary pasuk is the end of all the musafim, the Baal Tosafot point out, it only references back to the holidays, or the regalim, and it's not referencing back to Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat, and Tamid, and therefore it would not be a limud that would teach us that those items would have an override if we didn't have a specific limud for them. So this Elu Tasu L'Hashem B'Madechem teaches you that all the Sirei Regalim override Shabbat and override Tumah. Minayin about Omer V'Karev Imo. The Omer is not mentioned in Parshat Pinchas. And the Shtei Lechem Takarev Imam, the Shtei Lechem as well as the Korbanot that are brought along with them and the Kivsei Atzeret, how do I know that they, which are mentioned in Parshat and more, override Shabbat and override Tumah? Tomal Omar, that's what it says at the end of the summary pasuk in Parshat Emor, Vedeber Moshe Modei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. Hakatuv Kavu Moed Echad Ukulam. So it calls them a Moed. Every Korban, or everything that's mentioned there, has a din of Moed, and since we've already established that Moed means that you can override Shabbat, override Tumah, now we've extended that to all these korbanot, and now we've covered all the items that are mentioned in our Mishnah. Why do I need to mention each one of them? Why do I need a limud for one of all of them? I could just have one or two of them and I could extrapolate the din. Where it says, no, tzrife, each one individually has something unique to it. Ika dav rachmana tamid. Had the Torah just written the korban tamid, hava mina tamid, shekein tadir v'kalil. Maybe the reason that the tamid overrides Shabbat and overrides Tuma is because it's continuous, it happens every day, and it's also a korban olah, which goes on the mizbeach fully. So as opposed to the musafim, which also have olot, but they're not as tadir as the korban tamid. And the chataot that are brought as part of the musafim, they're not kalil on the mizbeach, they're eaten by the kohanim. So there's different aspects of these korbanot that don't match up with the korban tamid. That chumrah of the korban tamid makes it, maybe that's unique. Aval Pesach lo. But you wouldn't have included Pesach, kamash malan, that Pesach overrides Tuma and Shabbat as well. Pesach, had the Torah only told you about Pesach, it overrides Tuma and Shabbat. Pesach shu anush karet. Pesach is a unique korban, because if you don't bring it, you're chayav karet. It's only one of two mitzvot to say that you're chayav karet for. So maybe that's a unique aspect of it. About tamid, dein anush karet. Tamid that doesn't have a punishment of karet if it's missed, aim alone. Maybe that would not override Shabbat and would not override Tuma. Kamash malan, that both of them override Shabbat and Tumah. Because the Rachmana Hane Tarte, if the Torah wrote these two, Havamina, I would have thought Hane de Yesh Ben Sad Chamur. They both have aspects of them which are a stringency. So there, Tamid is because Tadir v'Kalil. It has the aspect of that it's frequent, it's daily, and it's Kalil, it's an Olah that goes on the Mizbeach completely. Pesach Shuanush Karet. So those chumrot make it that those are doche tuma and doche shabbat. Oshar korbanot tzibur, the remainder of the korbanot tzibur, aim alo, would not override shabbat, would not override tuma. Tosafot is very bothered by this concept here that you can have a tzad chamur, because everywhere else in Shas, when you have two items that have a chumrah that is associated with them, then if the chumrah is different, for instance here, the tamid has some unique aspect to it, the pesach has a unique aspect to it, but it's not a shared aspect. So it's not a shared aspect, you can what's called create a tzad shaveh. You can create the common denominator between them. Common denominator between them is that they're a korban tzibur, and they have a kavua zman, and they doche shabbat and doche tuma. I should be able to extrapolate from that to all other korbanot. You can't say that just because each one of them has a chumrah, then that now eliminates their ability to teach to other items, because that's a mechanism of limud, tzad shaveh, that's used everywhere else in Shas. So the Rabbeinu Tam over here claims that they do have something that is unique to them, that is not found by other korbanot, and is that Sheken Yeshlam Lifnei Dibur. They both exist before Har Sinai. The korban tamid, according to the Mandamar that believes that the korban tamid started being brought by Bnei Israel prior to Mamad Har Sinai, and korban Pesach obviously was brought before Mamad Har Sinai when they were leaving Mitzrayim. So since they have a shared chumrah between them that they existed prior to Har Sinai, therefore, you can't extrapolate if you had both of them to other items, because they have a common denominator between them, which is a chumrah that would prevent you from then extrapolating into other items, and that would break up the ability to make it a tzad shaveh. Others suggest, to support or defend the Gemara over here, that the chumrot that are associated with the tamid and the pesach are such extreme, unique types of chumrot that you can't eliminate them. One is that it's tamid, one is a daily sacrifice, and by definition, daily would override Shabbat, and therefore would override Tumah. And Pesach, which has a chiyuv karet associated with it, that would be enough to distinguish them from other korbanot, so you wouldn't be able to extrapolate from them. Tosafot over here entertains the possibility that with one of them and another one of the korbanot, you would have been able to extrapolate, and he suggests there must be some shum pircha, there must be some undermining of that common denominator that wouldn't allow you to learn from one of these two korbanot and another korban to all other korbanot at Sibur. So the Gemara says, about shar korbanot Sibur emalo, katav rachmana elu tatsu l'ashem b'modechem. That's why you have the pasuk, the end of Parshat Pinchas, that tells you that all the regalim, or korbanot tzibur, are included in this dispensation to override Shabbat and override Tumah. Bikat av rachman elu tasu l'ashem b'moadechem. If you only had those korbanot that are mentioned in Parshat Pinchas, plus the tamid, plus the pesach, havamina shar korbanot tzibur abayim l'chaper. Anything that comes to bring kapara, that would override Shabbat and override Tumah. But omer u'shtei alechem de'im bayim l'chaper. They don't come to bring kapara, atonement for anything. The sirim of Rosh Chodesh, the sirim of the regalim, come to be mechaper on Tumat Mikdash v'kodoshav, as is discussed in the beginning of the Gemara in Shavuot, that they come for kapara. And even olot that are brought, Rashi brings the Mamar Chazal that's mentioned in other places, that they're mechaper and lava nitak le'asei and mitzvot asei. And therefore, these korbanot would be included under this dispensation to allow them to override Tuma and override Shabbat. But, aval omer shtei alechem, dein bayim lechaper, by the omer and the shtei alechem, which only come to be matir chodosh in the gvulim, or matir chodosh in the mikdash, they don't come to bring any kapara. And maybe the same can be said about the shalmei tzibur as well, which come along with the shtel echem, el atir ba'alma ninhu. The only thing they're coming to do is be matir lo. Maybe they would not override tumah. Maybe they would not override Shabbat. Just wait another day. Kamash malon that they do, because that's why we have the pasuk from Parshat Emor by the Ber Moshe Modei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael, to say that moed applies even to those things that are matirim. Bikadar chmano omer shtel echem nechudayu. If you only had the pasuk by Emor teaching about the shtel echem and the omer, which tell you that they are matirim, and therefore they override Shabbat and Tumah, hava mina adraba. I would thought just the opposite. Omer shtei lechem dalime deboin lahatir. Maybe they're better because all they're coming to do is be matir. And since they're coming to be matir, maybe that makes them unique and allows them to override Shabbat and Tumah. Bahanach, the other korbanot that are coming for kapara, maybe kapara can wait another day, and it would be suspended for Tumah and be suspended for Shabbat. So maybe we would say lo. Mashmalan, that all of them are included under this dispensation to allow you to override Tumah and to override Shabbat. And that's how we get the items that are mentioned in our Mishnah, that they all override Shabbat. And more importantly, what the Mishnah was saying, that they override Tumah when the Rov HaTzibur ir Tmeim. Now the Gemara moves forward with an underlying assumption. The Gemara says, Savrua, that those learning the Beit Midrash made the following assumptions in order to understand our Mishnah. The first one is, Dekuliyama, Tuma Dukhuya Bitzibur. So we noted before, it's a machloket brought in the Gemara in Yoma, Daflov, as to whether Tuma is Hutra Bitzibur, it's completely eliminated, it's ignored with regards to the Tzibur, or it's Tuma Dukhuya Bitzibur, it's just suspended with regards to the Tzibur. So this Gemara is assuming that it's Tuma Dukhuya Bitzibur, and Ubayit Tzitz the Ratzol. And the only way that it works is because the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol wears is able to be mechaper on the Avon of Tumah. Because it says by the tzitz, Vayametzach Aron, v'nasaron et Avon ha-kodoshim, ishiyakdishu b'nei Yisrael, l'chol matnot kodshihem, vayametzchot tamid, the Ratzol lehem lifnei Hashem. So it provides ritzui for the Avon ha-kodoshim, which the Gemara in Yoma interprets to mean the Avon of Tumat ha-kodoshim. Again, that's learned in the Gemara in Yoma, as well as in Vachim and Menachot, that it sits as meratze on issues of Tumah. So the combination of Tumah Dukhuya B'Tzibur and the tzitz being meratze is what allows the Korbanot Tzibur to be brought B'Tumah. The Leka Tano Tishmaitle Damar Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur El Rabbi Yehuda. The reason we have to say this is because the reason behind our Mishnah cannot be that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, because there's only one Tano that believes Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, and that's Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, we have a Braita, tzitz Ben Sheishno Amitzcho Ben Sheino Amitzcho. Whether the tzitz is found on the head of the Kohen Gadol, whether it's not on the head of the Kohen Gadol, Miratzeh. It's able to help or override problems of Tumah in the Migdash, Divri Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Odeo Amitzcho Miratzeh. If he's wearing it, it works. Enu Deo Amitzcho, if he's not wearing it, Enu Miratzeh, it doesn't work. Amarlo Rabbi Shimon, Kohen Gadol, B'Yom Kippurim Yochiach. What about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does not wear the 8 big day Zahav. He only wears the 4 big day Lavan, because Ein Ktegor Nases Negor, as Rashi says, because we don't wear gold on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur was coming at the original time to be Mechaper on the Chet HaEgel, and so we don't want to remind Hashem of the Chet HaEgel, so we don't wear gold, we don't come in our finest clothing. That's the reason brought by the Gemara, and Rashi quotes it over here, as Rabbi Kiv Eger points out over here, that's not the reason. The reason is because the Pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol wears only Big Day Lavan on Yom Kippur, and doesn't wear Big Day Zav. The Gemara is giving the reason why that is, but what Rabbi Shimon is pointing out is that Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, because that's one of the 4 golden bigadim that are not worn on Yom Kippur. And nevertheless, Sheinoma Mitzcho Meratzeh. And yet, it still works, meaning that if there's some problem with the Korbanot Tzibur on Yom Kippur, we still say that the Korbanot are accepted, or they are good if they're brought B'Tumah, because they are Korbanot Tzibur that are Kavulahem Zman, and therefore they're Dochim et Tumah. And how are they Dochet Tumah if we're making the assumption that the whole way that the Dechiyat Tumah works is because of the Tzitz? That's what Rabbi Shimon says. If the Tzitz doesn't work when he's not wearing it, then how does it work on Yom Kippur?
Tosfot here and in Yoma points out that the proof that Rabbi Shimon brings from Yom HaKippurim isn't such a strong proof, because we have a principle that when the Tzitz is not available or can't be Meratzeh, then the Tumah is overridden because of Tumah Dechiyat B'Tzibur. And the example he brings is Tumah Taguf. While the Kohanim are Tmeim, we still say Tumah Dukhuya B'Tzibur, even though the tzitz is only meratzeh on Tumat HaKodoshim or the Korban and not on Tumat HaGuf. He says similarly on Yom Kippur, where he has to wear 4 bigodim and he can't wear the tzitz, then the Korbanot HaTzibur should be okay with Tumah, not because the tzitz is meratzeh when it's not on his forehead, but because of Tumah Duchuya B'tzibur, where there's no other possibility. So Tosfot over here leaves it as a Tzarech Iyun. In the Gemara in Yoma, he suggests the fact that by Yom HaKippurim, even if there's a Korban Tahor, we don't ask the Kohen Gadol to replace the Korban he's working on with a Korban Tahor, shows you that we're not working under the rubric of Tumat Chuyah B'tzibur. As we noted before, if it's Duchuyah, then we would try our best to do it B'tahara rather than B'tumah. The fact that we don't insist on that shows you that it must be that the tzitz is working over here to be Meratzeh, and if that's true by Yom HaKippurim, that means that it's working even when he's not wearing it. Amaleo, Rabbi Yehuda answers Rabbi Shimon, Hanach lo Yom HaKippurim, Shetuma Hutra B'tzibur. Don't bother me about Yom Kippur, because Tuma is totally eliminated with regards to issues of the Tzibur. So you see here that the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon revolves around this issue. Echlau, the Rabbi Shimon Tzavar, Tuma Duchuyahi B'tzibur. That's clear here that Rabbi Shimon believes that Tuma is only Duchuyah, and it needs the Tzitz in order to overcome the problems of Tuma. Since it needs the tzitz to overcome the problems of Tuma, it must be able to work whether the Kohen Gadol is wearing it, whether he's not wearing it, because that's the only way it functions, and we know it works in Yom Kippur, even though the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't need the tzitz to override problems or to deal with problems of Tuma, because Tuma's Hutra B'tzibur. Tuma Hutra B'tzibur means that it works even without the tzitz. Well, then you have to ask the question, what does Rabbi Yehuda need the tzitz for at all? Because as far as Tuma, it's Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. If that's the case, what do you need the tzitz for? So Rashi notes that Rabbi Yehuda needs the tzitz for Korbanei Yachid. Korbanot Yachid that don't have Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, they will require the tzitz in order to be meratzeh with regards to issues of Tuma. Another nafkamina that's brought in the Gemara in Yoma is whether you need to search for Tahor Kohanim. If you believe Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, you don't have to make an effort to find people that are Tahor to try to do this B'tahara. You just do whatever you need to do. Tuma Duchuya B'tzibur, we would say the Chatchila, try to find individuals who could do a B'tahara. If you can't, then you b'diavad, you do it b'tuma. So those will be differences as to whether you believe Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, Tuma Duchuya B'tzibur. Tosafot points out over here, okay, so Rabbi Yehuda is the author of that position that Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. What's so bad about that? When you have Machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, generally we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So why are they Amoraim over here reluctant to assume that Tuma Hutra B'tzibur is the reasoning behind our Mishnah, and say that it has to do with Tuma Duchuya B'tzibur and the tzitz together, like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. So Tosafot suggests that because later on in the Gemara, we're going to see that Rabbi Yossi also has a similar position to Rabbi Shimon. And we have a principle, Rabbi Yossi, Tamov Nimiko Imo, that we generally paskin like Rabbi Yossi for that reason. And therefore, since Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon have that position, the Gemara wasn't so comfortable assuming that Rabbi Yehuda was the author of the Mishnah based on his unique position that Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. So based on that, the Gemara has its first Hanakha, which is that our Mishnah, or the Heter in our Mishnah, is premised on the number one, Tuma Duchuya B'tzibur, together with the Tzitz. The second assumption they're making here is, Tukuliyama ain't Tzitz Meratzeh Alaychilot, that the Tzitz only helps with regards to Dam that is Tamei, and possibly maybe for Emurim that are Tmeim, but it does not help for the Basar. It does not help with regards to, okay, if the Basar is Tmei, the Tzitz will not help in that situation. The Lekatana Shmaitle, Damar Tzitz Meratzeh Alechilot, because we have no Tana that believes that the Tzitz helps out with regards to edible items, El Rabbi Eliezer. There's an exception of Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, that Tzitz Meratzeh Alechilot, that Tzitz can be Meratzeh on Basar, items that would otherwise be eaten by the Kohanim or by the Balim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, in Tzitz Meratzeh Alechilot. Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't help out with those issues. And so again here, the Gemara does not want to set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer, who's a Dat Yachid, it might be a Shmuti, and therefore we don't want to make him the author of our Mishnah. So the Gemara makes an assumption that our Mishnah, the reason that these five Korbanei Tzibur work is because Tuma Duchuya B'tzibur, and because the Tzitz is Meratzeh on the Tuma. And so the Tzitz being Meratzeh on the Tuma allows you to put the Dam on the Mizbeach, even though the Kohanim are Tmeim, or even though the Dam is Tamei, and that will allow the Korban to be accepted, the Kaparat to be accepted. Now, you can't eat from that Korban because the Tzitz is not Meratzeh on the Achilot. Truth is that nobody believes that you can eat the Korbanot B'tum'ah, and even according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Tzitz is Meratzeh al Achilot, that is just to help you out in situations where you need the Achilah or the Korban to have Basar, and there it will help out. Again, in the Gemara later on, see that in Rabbi Eliezer's own Shita, that's a little difficult because he doesn't require that, but nevertheless, the Gemara will get or build on that. So the two assumptions of how our Mishnah works as to why these five Korbanei Tzibur are Doche Tum'ah and allowed to be brought, even though they may not be eaten, is because they are Tumad Chuyah B'tzibur, Tzitz is Meratzeh, and the tzitz is not meratzeh on achilot, on items that are supposed to be eaten by the kohanim or by the owners of the korban. So now the Gemara starts out and try to eliminate certain tanaim from being the author of our Mishnah. The remainder of today's daf will focus on Rabbi Yoshua as not being the author of our Mishnah, and the Gemara will keep trying to show that Rabbi Yoshua is not the author of our Mishnah, and then it will push back against that and say maybe he could be the author of our Mishnah. And that's based on a machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Name him atnit and delok Rabbi Yoshua. Let us say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yoshua. The Tanya, we have a braita. So in Parshat Re, when it's speaking about the restrictions of consuming dam and the ability to eat basar ta'ava, at the end there it says, rak kodashecha asheyu luchal nidarecha, your kodashim and your nidarim, tisau vat al makom asheyiv char Hashem, you have to bring it up to the place that God has chosen, meaning to the mikdash or the central location. Basita olotecha habasar ba'dam al mizbach Hashem alokecha, you must bring the olot, the basar and the dam al mizbach Hashem alokecha, bedam zvachecha yishafech al mizbach Hashem alokecha basar tocha. So then you will put the dam on the mizbeach, and then you will eat the basar. So now, based on that pasuk, we have a machloket, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Basita olotecha basar ba'dam, Rabbi Yoshua mer, main dam, and basar. From the fact that it says basar vadam, seems to me that they have a mutualism between them, which is that they are dependent on each other. If there is no dam, then there's no basar. If you don't have zrikat adam, then there is no basar. The main basar, if you don't have basar, then you can't do the ein dam. You can't do the zrikat adam. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, dam afal pi shein basar. You can bring the dam even though there's no basar. Shenemar, because this tail end of the pasuk says the dam zvachecha yishafech al mizbach Hashem alokecha. Makes it sound that you just have to put the dam on the mizbeach, nothing to do with the basar. So therefore, he believes that you don't need the dam and basar. Now, obviously, he does believe in order to eat the basar, you need the dam, and he doesn't disagree with that point, which could be learned from other psukim, or maybe he holds that that is learned from the beginning of the pasuk as well. But nevertheless, they argue about whether you need the basar to be extant at the time that you do the zrikat dam. So ma ani mikayem basito lotecha basar v'adam. What does he do with the first half of the pasuk? That seems to be some mutualism between basar and dam. Omelecha ma dam bezrika af basar bezrika. That comes to teach you, just like the dam is thrown to the mizbeach, the dam is thrown on the mizbeach. Don't pour it onto the mizbeach. You actually zorek. You throw the dam on the mizbeach. Af basar bezrika. So too, that which goes on the mizbeach of the basar or the emurim must be thrown onto the mizbeach. Have Omer. In order to facilitate that, lul katan yesh ben kevesh la mizbeach. There's a small gap between the end of the ramp and the beginning of the mizbeach and the mikdash. Now, based on the Tosfot over here, he seems to indicate that this is not a dindo raita, not a Torah requirement that you have a gap between the ramp and the mizbeach. The Torah requirement, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is that you throw the basar or the emurim onto the mizbeach. In order to facilitate that, the Chachamim said put a gap between the ramp and the mizbeach. And since you have that gap, it will remind you to do that. So that's the way the Balei Tosafot learn over here. Although from the Rambam, others who believe that that is an actual requirement, doraita, in the construction of the mizbeach, that you actually have a gap now between the kevesh and the mizbeach, based on this, not only to facilitate, but now becomes integral to the building of the kevesh and the mizbeach, and must be there in order for it to be a kosher mizbeach. For Rabbi Yeshua, what does Rabbi Yeshua do with the tail end of the pasuk, which says, v'dam, Zvachecha yishafech. Amar lecha, you'll say, aktiv gabei v'basar tocham. Says right afterwards that you throw the dam on the mizbeach, you pour the dam on the mizbeach, and then you eat the basar. So that tells you that you must have the basar to be eaten in order to do the dam zvachecha yishafech, to put the dam on the mizbeach. Vani trei krai lomali. Then according to him, why isn't that single pasuk, do you have twice the same limud? Yet asit olotecha basar v'adam, speaking about the olot, the basar and dam are interdependent over there. V'dam zvachech yishafech mizbach Hashem lokecha v'basar tochal teaches you the same thing again at the latter half of the pasuk, regards to zvachim, which are shlamim. So what is the reason that he needs two psukim to teach you this? Chad b'olah v'chad b'shlamim. For exactly that reason. One of them is speaking about a korban olah, one of them is speaking about a korban shlamim. V'tzricha, and I need both of them. Dika dav rachmano be'olah havamino olahi dechamiro. I would have thought the olah is more chamur, and therefore you need the basar extant in order for the dam to go on the mizbeach, shken kalil, because it goes on the mizbeach. The basar too goes on the mizbeach, just like the emurim. Therefore, maybe that's why you need the basar to be extant. Aval shlamim, to lo chamiri, that's not chamur, because the basar is eaten by the kohanim or the balim, depending on what type of korban we're speaking about. So maybe in that instance, the basar would not be integral to the putting of the dam on the mizbeach. Emalo. If it was only by shlamim, by the shkaran shlamim, there's two achilot. There's achilat mizbeach and achilat adam. The emurim go on the mizbeach. the basar is eaten by the individuals. So over there, maybe I need the basar to be extant in order to put the dam on the mizbeach. For the olah, which is kalil on mizbeach, there's only one achilah, which is the achilah tam mizbeach. Maybe over there, I would say if you could put the emurim on, you don't need the basar anymore. Emalo. If that's the case, maybe I wouldn't require that the basar be extant, and therefore it wouldn't be required, kamash v'lan, that both by shlamim and by the olah, according to Rabbi Yoshua, you need the basar to be extant in order to put the dam on the mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer, nami aktiv, habasar tochal. What does he do with the fact that Rabbi Yoshua makes a good point, that even in the pasuk where it says, dadz v'achecha yishafeich, it still ends the pasuk, habasar tochal. It seems to me that the basar is extant. I need that for this din. Until the dam is put on the mizbeach, you're not allowed to eat the basar. So Gemara says, okay, so why don't you say that's the whole limo that we get from there, and why are you then adding on top of that the fact that you can put the dam on the mizbeach even though you don't have basar? You're trying to learn two things from that same statement. So dam afupi shein basar. Minolan. How do you know that you can have dam without basar if you're using the pasuk to tell you that you must put the dam in the mizbeach before the basar is in it? Amalacha, im kein yichtov rachmana, basar tochal, vahadar, v'dam zvachecha yishafech. It could have changed the order of the pasuk and said, put basar tochal first, and then put dam zvachecha afterwards, kidichti bereisha. Like the beginning of the pasuk says. It says, vasito otecha basar v'adam. Puts the basar before the dam. So the second half of the pasuk was going to have a parallel structure. It should have put the basar tochal before the dam zvachecha yishafeich. So asito lotecha basar v'dam. Maishna da akteme the dam zvachecha. Why in the latter half of the puzzle does it flip the order and put the dam zvachecha before the basar tochal? Shmamina dam afo pi shein basar ushmamina shein basar mutar b'achila jizereik hadam. So it comes to teach you that there are two dinim that you can learn out of there. Number one din is the order now that is changed teaches you that dam goes on and then only the basar is eaten. And the fact that it mentions dam zvachecha separately from a basar tochal comes to indicate to you that just the dam by itself is sufficient for the korban to be fine, and you don't need the basar to be extant in order for it to be a kosher korban. But Yeshua in basar mutar b'achilat shizareik adam, how does he know that? That basar can only be eaten after the dam goes on his back? Says kavachomeru. That's a logical thing that you can conclude. Uma emurim, when it comes to emurim, if the emurim disappear, even Rabbi Yoshua agrees that you can still do zrikat the dam and the korban is kosher. So that even if the emurim are missing completely, it's kosher. Ki idnu, when they are extant, me'akve, they have to be put on mizbeach. And if you don't put them on the mizbeach, then you cannot eat the korban, or the achilah is suspended until you put on those emurim on the mizbeach. Like we saw back in Tamid Nishchat, that the emurim, when they're around, the emurim have to put on and then the achilah takes place. Dam dechilete me'akev. The dam, if it's not there, it's me'akev and there's no korban. Ki'ite, if it is extant and it is there, lo koshkein de me'akev, then certainly it should prevent you from having the ability to eat the basar. He has a kavachomer, which is a very simple logic, that if the emurim, which are not me'akev the korban, are me'akev the ability to eat the basar when they're extant, then the dam that is me'akev the korban and the kapara of the korban, then if it's extant, then certainly it should be ma'akev, your ability to eat the korban, until it's put onto the mizbeach. So Rabbi Eliezer has to deal with that logic, which is a very straightforward logic. Milta da'achi b'kal v'chomer, tarach v'kot of la'kra. That even though, yes, in Okanami you could learn from a kal v'chomer, sometimes the Torah writes something that you could have learned from a kal v'chomer anyway. Rabbi Yeshua says, kohechadika d'midrash tarshinan. Well, that's true if there's no other drasha. But I have another drasha for that pasuk, and therefore I would not use it for telling you that the dam has to precede the eating of the basar. I'm going to tell you that the dam without the basar is no good. And therefore, since I have that limud that I could learn out of it, I'm not going to just leave it and say that it's coming to duplicate something that I could learn logically. Now, hashto. Now the Gemara says, after all that information I just gave you, lema matnitin delog Rabbi Yeshua. Come back to the original assumption of the Gemara, which is, Rabbi Yeshua cannot be the author of our Mishnah. Because the Kevin Damar Bina Tarte, he says you require two things. Meaning that you require basar and you require dam in order for your korban to be kasher. Without the basar, you can't do zrikat adam. Without zrikat adam, you can't have the basar. Now, the two assumptions that the Gemara made with regards to the authorship of our Mishnah is that tuma d'chuya b'tzibur and the tzitz is meratzeh, number one. Number two is that the tzitz is not meratzeh on achilot, on items that are eaten. Basar is an item that's eaten, and therefore the tzitz cannot be meratzeh on it. So tzitz achilot lo meratzeh. If the tzitz is not meratzeh on achilot, hechiati bituma. How can you bring this korban tzibur bituma? The items where you need basar are tameh. So they're disqualified. They can't go on the Mizbeach, or they're not qualified to go on the Mizbeach. If that's the case, then you can't put the dam on the Mizbeach. And the only way that you could override that problem is to have the tzitz be meratzeh on the basar. But we already made the assumption that the tzitz is not meratzeh on achilot, with the exception of Rabbi Eliezer. Nobody is of that opinion. And so Rabbi Yeshua clearly doesn't subscribe to that. If that's the case, then Rabbi Yeshua can't be the author of our Mishnah, because you won't have basar to allow you to put the dam on the Mizbeach.
As Tosafot points out on the Amud Aleph, this whole idea that Rabbi Yehoshua is not the author of our Mishnah is plagued with difficulties, and the Gemara is going to consistently try to amend the explanation to get to a better place. But first of all, as the Baal Tosafot will point out, the next Mishnah that says that if the Basar became Tameh, or the Chelev became Tameh, that if then you could be Zoreka Tadam, sounds from that if both of them were Tameh, it would be problematic, and that's like Rabbi Yehoshua. So how can you claim this part of the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehoshua, but the Seifa is like Rabbi Yehoshua? The second thing is, even given the premises that we're working with here, that Tumah Dechuyah B'Tzibur, and that the Tzitz is not Meratzeh on the Achilot, even if you believe that if there's any Basar, there's still Dam against Rabbi Yehoshua, you still can't explain the Mishnah, because the Shtei Alechem, and the Shtei Alechem don't have Basar, don't have Dam, they just have Achilah. And if the Tzitz is not Meratzeh on that Achilah, then it doesn't help at all. And for that reason, it's problematic both for Rabbi Yehoshua and for Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why the Gemara is going to have to amend the assumptions that are underlying the explanation of this Mishnah. In addition, Tosafot points out that there are challenges for Rabbi Eliezer here as well, which is that all the limudim that Rabbi Eliezer has are coming from Shlamim, which is by Dam Zvachecha Ishafech and Vachar Tuchal de Basar, and those are all written by Shlamim. And how does he extrapolate that to the Olah with regards to those dinim? So Tosafot, to mitigate some of that, says that maybe Rabbi Eliezer will subscribe to the Kal V'chomer of Rabbi Yehoshua with regards to an Olah, in order to say that Ein Dam, Ein Basar. The Rashi does posit a logic with regards to that, which is that at the beginning of their Hekdesh, the Korban becomes Asur, and the Kapara is accomplished by the Zrikat Adam, and the Kohanim, who eat from the Korban, are Mishulchan Gavoa Kazochu, they get it from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if there is no kapara that is accomplished, then the isur that existed on the kodoshim is still intact. And for that reason, the kohanim can't partake of the basar. And therefore, if it's a logical argument according to Rashi, that if there is ein dam, ein basar, problem with that is then you no longer need the kal v'chomer. The Gemara suggested, because Rashi thinks it's inherent to the din of a korban, but that may be the way that Rabbi Eliezer approaches it in order to overcome that problem. But with regards to the fact that ein basar, there's still dam, that is true by Shlamim, and based on the Gemara's Trichuta that we saw before, he leaves it as a Tzarachiyun as to how we extrapolate that to the din of Allah as well.
It says, no, afilu tamer Rabbi Yeshua. It could even be Rabbi Yeshua. Because sub Rabbi Yeshua, a tzitz meratze ala olim. That the tzitz is meratze on things that go on the Mizbeach. And therefore, when there's something that goes on the Mizbeach, for instance, in a Korban, you have Emurim that go on the Mizbeach, and Basar that's eaten. Or by an Olah, you have the Emurim and the Basar that go on the Mizbeach. So, with regards to the tzitz being meratzeh, it's not meratzeh on things that you eat, but it is meratzeh on things that the Mizbeach eats, or things that go on the Mizbeach. So, in all these cases, there are Emurim that go on the Mizbeach from the Korbanot, and he agrees, if you have a kazayit worth of Emurim, you don't need the Basar. Meaning that Rabbi Yehoshua's position is that, in order to put the Zrikat Adam, you need some Achilah that exists. It could be either the Achilah of the Emurim, which go on the Mizbeach, or can be the Achilah of the Basar that can be eaten by the individuals. So even though in these cases the Basar is Tameh, and we won't have that available, at least the Emurim will be available, and the Tzitz will be Miratzeh on the Olim. That works well for all the Korbanot that you're speaking about in the Mishnah, Dikolim, because they have things that go on the Mizbeach, and even if the items that are eaten are no good, the things that go on the Mizbeach will allow you to do the Zrikat Adam. El Omer u'shtei alechem, deleke olim. When it comes to the Omer and the shtei alechem, and here the problems are different. By the Omer, the problem is that you put a kometz on the Mizbeach. That's like the Zrikat Adam for a mincha, is putting the kometz on the Mizbeach. But the shirayim are eaten by the Kohanim, and nothing else goes on the Mizbeach. So what's going to be meratzeh on the shirayim to allow you to put the kometz on the Mizbeach? The shtei alechem, nothing goes on the Mizbeach from the shtei alechem. And therefore, what's the tzitz kamim ratzon? That's only ochlim. It's only things that are eaten by the Kohanim. If it's eaten by the Kohanim, how could it be that the tzitz is meratzeh on it? And then if you don't have the shtei alechem, how can they function as a matir without the fact that the tzitz is meratzeh on them? The leka olim, because there's nothing from them that goes on the Mizbeach. Ma'ikah le'meimar. So what are you going to say there? So Amrei, ki amar Rabbi Yeshua nami d'bin antarte bizvachim. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua's position that you need
the dam and the basar, or the dam and the emurim, is only when you're dealing with korbanot. B'minachot lo amar. When it comes to a mincha, he doesn't say that. And that might be because the mincha is different than a korban. A korban has dam, emurim, and basar. And so therefore, Rabbi Yeshua requires is that in order for the dam to go on the Mizbeach, I need one of the two items to be left, the basar or the emurim. But when it comes to a mincha, the kometz goes on Mizbeach, but that which is residual to the shirayim, maybe that's only achila. And since there's only achila there, maybe it doesn't require it to be available in order for it to go on the Mizbeach.
Because I view the kometz that goes on the Mizbeach as in being in place of the dam and the emurim. And since Rabbi Yeshua believes that if you have emurim, you don't need the basar, so therefore by the mincha, possibly when you put the kometz on the Mizbeach, that's the equivalent of getting dam and emurim on the Mizbeach, and therefore the shirayim or the achila is no longer necessary to put the kometz on the Mizbeach.
Now, the truth is that this answer, as the Baal HaTosfos will point out, will only help you with the Omer. In regards to the Shtei Lechem, this doesn't help you. And he says the Gemara will not answer that question, but asks a better question that makes this impossible to be the answer. But nevertheless, that question still is outstanding with regards to the Shtei Lechem, because the Shtei Lechem have nothing that goes on the Mizbeach. And so what's going to help you in this instance? And the Gemara says, U'menachot lo amar. Is it really true that Rabbi Yeshua does not carry over his position from Korbanot to Menachot? But tonight we have a Mishnah in Menachot. Nitme'u shi'areha. If the residual of the Mincha that remains after you take the kometz that goes on Mizbeach, avdu shi'areha, if they are lost, that was shirayim. Kemidat Rabbi Eliezer, if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer by korbanot, k'sheira, the korban's k'sheira, because he says dam, afopi she'en basar. And so over here, he'll say kometz, afopi she'en shirayim. Kemidat Rabbi Yeshua, if you hold like Rabbi Yeshua, psula, this korban mincha would be psula, because im ein basar ein dam, so same thing here, ein shirayim ein kometz, and you can't put the kometz on the mizbeach, which is the equivalent of the zrikat adam by a korban. But it says, kemidat velo kemidat, it's like Rabbi Yeshua, but not exactly like him. Kemidat Rabbi Yeshua to be in antarte, it's taking up the position of Rabbi Yeshua that says that in ein basar ein dam, so to over here, ein shirayim ein kometz. Velo kemidat Rabbi Yeshua, but it's not exactly like Rabbi Yeshua. Deilu Rabbi Yeshua himself, bizvachim amar, menachot lo amar. They're basically a Tana's extrapolating Rabbi Yeshua's position to menachot. Rabbi Yeshua himself doesn't believe that, but this other Tana thinks that it does extend to menachot, and he carries it over into mincha. So it's not Rabbi Yeshua himself, just somebody who is taking up the position of Rabbi Yeshua and extrapolating it to menachot. Velo hay Tana savar afilu menachot. And this Tana believes that Rabbi Yeshua's din applies even by menachot. Manu hay Tana dekoi kavate. Who exactly is this Tana that subscribes to Rabbi Yeshua's position? Umachmir tveminei. And he's machmir even more than Rabbi Yeshua. First of all, we never find a Tana like that. We don't find any Tana that takes up the position. We know Rabbi Yeshua's position, but when we find any Tana that seems to extrapolate his position to say that this isn't Rabbi Yeshua. Vo Tanya, in addition to that, we have an explicit braita. Am Rabbi Yossi, roe ani divrei Rabbi Eliezer, b'menachot u'bizvachim. I think Rabbi Eliezer's position is right with regards to a mincha and a zevach. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua, b'zvachim u'menachot. And I like Rabbi Yeshua's position with regards to korbanot and menachot. Rabbi Yossi's position is somewhat self-contradictory. The Gemara later on will interpret Rabbi Yossi's position to explain what Rabbi Yossi means. But for right now, we'll just take for granted that Rabbi Yossi is saying that Rabbi Eliezer's position extends to Zvachim and Menachot, and so does Rabbi Yeshua's position. And I like Divrei Rabbi Eliezer b'Zvachim, she'omer dam afal pi she'en basar, and I like Divrei Rabbi Yeshua b'Zvachim, she'omer imein dam ein basar, imein basar ein dam. So he seems to be taking up both of their positions, which are mutually exclusive. And I like Divrei Rabbi Eliezer b'Menachot, she'omer kometz afal pi she'en shirayim, put a kometz on even though there's no residual. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua b'Menachot, and I like Rabbi Yeshua's position by Menachot, she'omer, because he thinks, ein kometz, ein shirayim. When there's no kometz, he can't put on a shirayim, and Rabbi Eliezer agrees with that. Ve'ein shirayim, ein kometz. But if there's no shirayim, you can't put on a kometz, that's where he argues on Rabbi Eliezer. So it's clear here, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yeshua's opinion with regards to Zvachim is equally applicable to Menachot. Never, that can't be the answer. Ella, katsava Rabbi Yeshua, tzitz maratze al olim, v'al achilot. The fact that it's maratze al olim is not nafkamina here, the nafkamina is it's al achilot. Now we're suggesting that not only does Rabbi Eliezer of the opinion that the tzitz is maratze al ochlim, but even Rabbi Yeshua believes that the tzitz is maratze al ochlim, and that's how we overcome the problem with regards to the korbanei tzibur. Because now the basar that you needed, or by the omer, where you needed the shirayim to be okay in order for the kometz to go on, the tzitz is maratze and the shirayim. In regards to the shtei alechem, Rashi says, that tzitz will be meratze. Even though you can't eat the shtei alechem, it will be meratze to the point where the shtei alechem will provide the heter for chodosh and the mikdash, and they will function even though they cannot be eaten. And then Gemara says, "Amai kemidat Rabbi Yeshua psula." Then why does the Mishnah we brought from Menachot before us say
that if you hold like Rabbi Yeshua, the Shirayim of the Korban Mincha are either Tamei, Avud, lost, or Nisraf, or burnt, that according to Rabbi Yeshua, you wouldn't be able to bring the Kometz. Gemara says, Avud v'saruf. It's not going on all the items mentioned in that Mishnah. It's only going on things that are lost and burnt, because there the tzitz can't make up for it. And since the tzitz can't make up for it, Rabbi Yeshua clearly believed that the tzitz is not meratzeh on these items, and therefore you can't put the kometz because you're missing the shirayim. El nitma, when it comes to nitma, and yochanami, that Rabbi Yeshua would believe that the tzitz is meratzeh and you can put on a kometz. So then Gemara asks a very simple question. El nitma leman ktani. Then why does the Mishnah Menachot mention as one of the items that's problem by the shirayim is tuma? If it's l'Rabbi Eliezer, Pshita. Of course, according to Rabbi Lezer, if the Shirayim are Tmeim, then certainly the Kometz can go on Mizbeach. Hashalei Eshtumar Avud V'saruf, the Letnehu. According to Rabbi Lezer, even if they were lost or burnt, they don't exist. They're not even extant anymore. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can put the Kometz on Mizbeach. Machshir Rabbi Eliezer, and he still is Machshir. Nitma, the Ite, when they become Tamei, they're still extant, but they're just Tamei. Me boy, you have to tell me that he'll be matir to putting the Kometz on his back? That's a simple extrapolation from the other two cases in the Mishnah. So Nitma can't be brought. If he holds by Avodu Saruf, you can put the Kometz on, then certainly by Nitma, he believes that that is the case. El Pshita, must be that Nitma is there because of Rabbi Yeshua, and Ktani Psula. And even though it's Nitma, it says Psula. And therefore, that undermines our statement here that Rabbi Yeshua believes that the Tzitz can be meratzeh on Ochlim, or on the Shirayim of the Mincha. And now he can't be the author of our Mishnah. Va'od, Tanya. And on top of that, we have a Braita, Rabbi Yeshua Meir. Kol Zvachim Shebetorah, Ben Shnitma Basar, V'Chelev Kayam. Whether the Basar became Tamei, and the Chelev is still extant. Ben Shnitma Chelev, or if the Chelev is Tamei, but the Basar Kayam, and the Basar is still extant, Zorekat Adam. You're allowed to do Zrikat Adam, because as we said before, you need one Achila to be remaining. That's Basar or Chelev. Either one of those will allow you then to put the Zrikat Adam. V'nitme'u tarvayu. But it's clear from this Braita that if both of them were Tamei, lo, then it wouldn't work. Alma kasava Rabbi Yeshua ain't sitz meratzeh al olim v'lo al achilot. Or basically we're focused on the achilot. It's clear here that Rabbi Yeshua does not believe that the tzitz can be meratzeh on items that are eaten. Because otherwise, even if both Basar and the Chelev were Tamei, the Tzitz would be Miratzeh, and you could bring the Korban, you could bring the Zrikat Adam. So now Gemara is back to the square one, where obviously Rabbi Yeshua can't be the author of our Mishnah. So Gemara says, no, Elolam Rabbi Yeshua hi matanita. No, Rabbi Yeshua can't be the author of our Mishnah. But Lokasha, what are you going to do with the fact Rabbi Yeshua believes when the Basar is Tamei, the Tzitz is not Miratzeh on it, you don't have Basar, you can't do Zrikat Adam. How does it work in our Mishnah? But Lokasha, that's not a problem. Kan lechatchila, kan diavad. Depends on whether you're asking us lechatchila to do this, or if you've done it. Meaning, kiyama Rabbi Yeshua, when Rabbi Yeshua says that if there's no basar, you can't put dam, or the tzitz is not meratzeh on achilot, that's only when it's lechatchila. We don't say go put the dam on because the tzitz will be meratzeh on the basar, or the basar being tamei is not a disqualifying factor. But b'diavad, if you've already done it, lo, then it would be fine. And since the tumah b'tzibur that I mentioned in our Mishnah are a case of b'diavad, if it was done already, then Rabbi Yehoshua says it would be kasher, and that's what the Mishnah is speaking about. Munat emra, and how can I prove to you the shani le Rabbi Yehoshua ben lechatchila the diavad, that Rabbi Yehoshua actually has this opinion where he differentiates between whether you're asking us a question to do it versus if it's already done. Because the Tanya, nitma basar, o shenifsal, o sheyatzah chutz leklayim. If the basar became tamei, or became pasul, or left the azara, Rabbi Eliezer omer yizarek, lechatchila, you're allowed to do zrikat adam, because Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion as we saw before, mein basar, yesh dam. Even without basar being extant, you can put the dam on the mizbeach. Rishu omer, lo yizarek, he cannot put it on the mizbeach. Mode Rabbi Yehoshua, but Rabbi Yehoshua agrees, sheim zarak. If you already did it, hurtza, it works. So you see that Rabbi Yeshua does distinguish between the Chatchila and B'diavad. So our Mishnah that speaks about the Kumenei Tzibur and overriding Tumah, that's a case B'diavad. The Mishnayot and Menachot and other places that say that Rabbi Yeshua believes in Vein Basar, Ein Dam, all of those are speaking about Rabbi Yeshua's position, the Chatchila. Where it says to that, wait a minute. Number one, Dipsula, the Mishnah Menachot that says according to Rabbi Yehoshua, when it says that, if you take a mincha where the shirayim are either tamei, avud, or nisraf, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it would be pasul, psula diavad mashma. Psula, which is written in the past tense, is an indication that it's not qualified, not lechatchila, and not bidiavad. It's totally disqualified. It doesn't work. And psula means even bidiavad, it's not good. So that's number one. Vod, chamisha dvarim baim. On the other hand, the Mishnah that writes chamisha baim, which gives a verb,
aside from Kesherah and Psula, and speaks in the present tense, that's a language that means L'chatchila. You're allowed to bring Korban Tzibur in this case. So you're telling me that the Mishnah Menachot is a case of L'chatchila, and our Mishnah is a case of B'diavad. The language indicates just the opposite. The language in Menachot is Psula, which indicates that B'diavad, it's disqualified. And our Mishnah says, Chamisha Dvarim Bayim B'tuma, sounds like L'chatchila, you're allowed to do this. So it's just the opposite. The language indicates L'chatchila Mashma. Elolo kasho. That's not a problem. Kan b'yachid, kan b'tzibur. How we explain the difference between Rabbi Yeshua's opinion has to do with whether it's in the yachid or the tzibur. The way Rashi explains the differentiation between yachid and tzibur is that Rabbi Yeshua believes that tuma hutra b'tzibur. It says tuma hutra l'tzibur, anything goes in the tzibur, and therefore he can be the author of our Mishnah over here because that's a case of tuma b'tzibur, and therefore you can do it even l'chatchila, because everything is muteret by the Tumah Hutra B'tzibur.
And so even though the tzitz is not meratze on the olim or on the ochlim, nevertheless, you have Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, which works without the tzitz. And therefore you don't need the tzitz at all to be matir the Tumah B'tzibur.
Now, what about a yachid? By yachid, l'chatchila it's psula, because Tumah is only duchuya by a yachid. Therefore, l'chatchila it's psula, but if you did it after the fact, then we're going to say it's kasher.
And that's what it means im hurtza in that braita that we brought before. Im zarak, if you did it, then hurtza, it would work. And that's the way the Gemara is going to explain it.
And even though we said before that the word psula means even bidyavad, nevertheless, the Gemara is rejecting that understanding because we have an explicit statement from Yeshua that says im zarak hurtza. In order to reconcile that with the psula, we have to say that the psula here means only psula l'chatchila, and not bidyavad.
The Baal Tosafot disagree with that. First of all, the Gemara should have explicitly said that Ella, that Rabbi Yeshua holds Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. That's a big change in assumption here for the Gemara to ignore that. Doesn't make sense. Therefore, the Baal Tosafot believe that Rabbi Yeshua is still of the belief that Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibur, and the Tzitz is Miratzeh, and it's even Miratzeh al Achilot. It works on Achilot. And that's what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says that the Tzitz is Miratzeh on Achilot, Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur. And that's why our Mishnah says, l'chatchila, you can do it. What about the Mishnah Menachot that says psula? That's why I'm at a yachid. That's a gzeira d'rabbonon, that when it comes to tuma d'chuya b'tzibur, the tzitz is meratzeh anachilot for a korban tzibur l'chatchila. Rabbonon said, l'chatchila, we won't allow it by a korban yachid or for individuals. B'diavad, if it's done, then we're going to say it works, because that's the din d'oraita. But l'chatchila, we're not going to allow that to happen. Okay, we're going to stop here on the top line of Ayin Chet Amud Aleph.